It is Mahalia Bakanin and Bukulalin Imdlalo. So that one is titled Phakama right here on In Season with Saki. And of course, ahead of that one, we had news in English top of the hour. It is now 10 after 11. Good morning. If you just tuned in, I hope you're well, you're good. And if you are a first-time listener, as I always say, welcome to CCFM, the family, right? Where we are changing lives for good. Now, insight is defined as the capacity to gain an accurate and deep understanding of either someone or something. Now, joining me live in studio, I'm so excited to chat about certain topics, right? Yes. To start a series, to chat about certain topics and also Bible characters, is Pastor Michelle Grace Lynx with Insight. Pastor Lynx.
Wow, good morning to everybody. Good morning to our listeners on 107.5. We are indeed excited for this new segment, Insight, and today we're going to touch a very deep and much needed topic for the body of Christ, and that is relationships. And you know what was so amazing this week, Monday, we actually had a Facebook Live Monday night, and my husband and I spoke about relationships, and that was for about 2 hours and 12 minutes. Sure. Can you believe it?
On relationships alone.
That was so much engagement on that topic, so many questions. It's such a broad topic, and they wanted part two. So sure. There's a part two coming on Monday, and this morning we're going to touch on that topic about relationships, and I believe that we've been born for relationships. You know, God is relational, you know, and so it's a sensitive topic. It's a topic that we need wisdom on, because there's so much attack on relationships. If you look across the board, it is marriages, friendships, work colleagues, brothers, sister. And from the beginning, you know, of the Bible, think about it, Cain and Abel. There was a feud there. You know, there was already a division amongst the siblings. And so we'll see that carried through the word of God. And so the enemy understands where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So what does he do? He tries his utmost to cause division in relationships. And so we need to use wisdom, and we need the wisdom of God, and we need the love of God, you know, to steer and navigate our relationships. Relationships can be beautiful. Marriage is possible and can be beautiful when we do it correctly. And so this morning we're going to chat about that.
Sure. really excited about today. Listen, tell a friend and neighbor to quickly dial 107.5, because we're chatting to Pastor Michelle Lynx with regards to relationships. Now, what are the signs of, you know, a healthy relationship? That you know, go to this one is a healthy relationship.
Yes, okay. I made some notes, and it's found in the book, my book as well, is Purpose in Pain. And so let me just start off saying that pain can be a great deceiver. Pain can deceive you, you know, because when you hurt, you start to think and filter everything through that hurt, through that filter, you know. And so it's so important, and this is not just for acquaintances, not just for friendships. This includes marriages as well. And I believe that a healthy relationship, you must be able to have healthy conversations, you know, and you must have that space to be authentically you.
Yeah.
The moment that you have to be someone else is the moment that that relationship is not healthy, because now you have to carry a different persona. You have to be, you have to adjust who you are, who God has called you to be, to make that person comfortable. And that is dangerous. So that can happen with work colleagues, with friendships, marriage as well. The moment you find competition in a relationship, you know, that's unhealthy. So in a healthy relationship, there should be celebration. You know, we should cheer for our brother, sister, our spouse. There should be that. There shouldn't be that competitiveness, you know, competition. You must feel safe and secure in a relationship. There must be that liberty to trust, to know that when I speak to you, you know, it's going to stay with you. That confidentiality, which is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people feel betrayed when people spill out their business, you know, and so they don't trust anymore. So trust is a part of a healthy relationship. And then being faithful in a friendship, in a marriage. I think that are the pillars to produce a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. And also just having that liberty. If I think about it, if there's something heavy on my heart, I shouldn't feel fearful, you know, because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. You know, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And so when you are fearful in a friendship or fearful in a marriage, that is so unhealthy. So you should have peace and be able to speak about anything without thinking, how's that person going to react, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I want to add this. Correction is not rejection, you know? And sometimes we take that. Yeah. I was speaking about on Monday night. I said, in the beginning of my marriage, oh my gosh, I was so sensitive, you know? Mm-hmm. But the problem was me. I had to change. I used to get so sensitive. My husband would say, your cup shouldn't be there, it should be over there. I'm like, oh, but this man's supposed to love me. Like, why is he correcting me? Why is he correcting me? But it's got nothing to do. I was insensitive. And so I believe that to produce a healthy relationship, we have to be healthy. We have to be whole. You know, even when it comes to marriage, they always speak about better half. No, we need to be whole individuals. We need to be whole, healed in our hearts. If there's any residue of the past, if there are any soul ties, whatever, we got to deal with it. In order to produce longevity in our relationships, we need to be healthy and whole mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally. And so I always say we only talk about the wedding, but we need to speak about the marriage. You know, and also with friendships, you know, you have to have balance in that friendship. You know, and this topic, it can go very deep. You know, and sometimes we act out in a certain way, you know, because of the past. You know, so we bring that into our relationships, and so we hurt people that never cut us. We bleed on people that never cut us. Hurting people hurt others. And so we need to, number one, look within ourselves and ask ourselves, am I the problem? And it's a very difficult thing to do, you know, but it's something that is important, and it takes humility to acknowledge that I'm the problem. And so, you know, marriage can be beautiful. Relationships can be wonderful when they are navigated correctly. It's so important. It's important. And remember, not everybody is for you, and not everybody is configured for you. And so it's not about the quality, you know. It's not about, sorry, about the quantities, but the quality of friendship, you know. And so God will send the right. And it's important to pray. Pray about your friendships, you know, and ask God to send the right people at the right time, you know, for you. And sometimes we are empty, and so we always need people around us. So we have to ask ourselves, why do I need all of these friends? Why am I the problem? Maybe I have a void. You know, so we have to be cautious. We have to, I know we're going in deeper, but we have to ask ourselves, why do I have a pattern of failed relationships? You know, am I the problem? Because wherever I go, my relationships do not last, you know. So healthy relationship starts with me. I need to be healthy in order to have a healthy relationship. I need to be whole. I need to know who I am, you know. When you do not know who you are in Christ, when you don't know what you are called to, you will bring that into your friendship, and it will make it so difficult for your spouse, because they always have to hear you complain. And, you know, so do yourself a favor before you get married or into a relationship, you know, like Esther did, prepare yourself, you know, prepare yourself, get whole, get healed, get delivered, whatever you need to do. Because it just, you know, when you get married, it's like a deficit. when you go in unhealed.
Mm-hmm.
It just puts a strain on that relationship, because now you have to deal. Marriage in itself is hard work. You know, with God, it's possible, but you got to work. So to be a blessing to your spouse, get healed, get whole, get healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Wow. Would you say that in a healthy relationships, there are healthy disagreements and arguments?
Absolutely. You know, you can, my husband and I often say this, for me, I believe that God gives us the ability to confront situations with grace and love, you know, and so that's the fruit of the Spirit, you know. So if we are born again, we don't have to fight in terms of anger, getting angry, you know. In your anger, do not sin, you know. So you got to crucify the flesh, because our carnal nature always wants to come out and have its way.
Yeah.
And so is it necessary, first of all, to say this? Is it timing correctly? You know, and will it edify the person? You know, will it keep the person's dignity intact? Will this confrontation break, or will it actually bring a solution, a restoration to this relationship? So firstly, you can have a healthy disagreement. My husband and I often have healthy disagreements, you know, because I have a view, he's got a view.
Yeah.
And so it's important. You should never feel fearful to present your opinion or your view. But I always say it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And confrontation can be done with so much grace. I can speak to you in the same tone and confront you, you know, and say, I saw you looked at me in a certain way. Is there a problem? You know, oh, I didn't like that about you. You know, because that's what God expects from us. When we are Christ-like, we are ambassadors of Christ. So in everything that we do, we can have healthy disagreements and confrontations. It's possible. And I believe there is nothing wrong with it, because we are different. We are wired different. We think differently.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have conversations about relationships. And it is possible. You know, often people will just, I used to do this, and I'm being very transparent. I enjoy being transparent, so it will help someone else. I used to go silent mode, you know, in the beginning of my marriage. When there would be a disagreement, because I didn't have the maturity or the wisdom or the capacity to actually deal with the situation. So what I would do is I would withdraw and go silent mode. That's not the solution, you know. Now I process, I think before I speak, yes, and I ask myself, especially on a Sunday morning, you know, you're prepping for church, you know, and you know the devil, you know, he's all out there and he wants to cause distractions. Is it necessary right now, the timing, for me to confront a situation? No, because I understand that this is warfare, you know. This, it's not that you're ignoring it, but you're just keeping it on pause, processing it, and just doing it another time when it's more appropriate and conducive to actually address the situation. And you will find that when you give it a little bit of time, you actually think, oh my gosh, I was overreacting, you know. And so always keep the person's dignity intact. So we confront the situation, we don't break down the person. So often we break down the person, we don't address the principle.
Sure.
You know, so we attack people. You know, but our fight is not against flesh and blood, you know. So we attack, we address the principle. So this principle is wrong. I did not like this, but I still love the person.
Yeah, sure. Wow. I want us to talk about then, and we spoke now about a healthy relationship, and you gave us, you know, some signs to identify a healthy relationship. Now, what are the symptoms of a toxic one?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let me read two scriptures for you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character," right? And then there's a scripture that says in Proverbs 25, verse 17, it says, "Do not put your foot too often in your neighbor's house, or you'll end up hating them," you know? And so I find that in friendships, now we're going to speak about friendships, that sometimes we become too clicky, we become close too fast, you know, and we need each other's space too fast, yeah. and we become familiar with one another,
mm-hmm.
and then we are in each other's business, and we open up too much, you know. And so I'm going to speak about a friendship first. When you are in a friendship, there should be boundaries.
Mm.
Boundaries are so important. It's not to block people out. I always say, you know, you should guard your heart. You know, guarding your heart and having a hardened heart is two different things. Guard your heart,
mm.
not harden your heart. You know, yeah. so people often say, I'm guarding my heart, but their heart is hardened yeah. because of hurt. So a toxic friendship relationship is when you have fear. There's fear in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're always fearing the person. You're scared to speak.
Sure.
You know, there's emotional manipulation,
mm.
you know, crying or putting unreasonable weights and demands on the next person. You know, I'm expecting this of you. The relationship is one-sided
mm-hmm.
only. So now that other person doesn't bring anything to the party. It's just you working the friendship.
Yeah.
And it's draining you. The moment it drains you, the moment you feel depleted, that's mm-hmm. a red flag. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore the red flags. When you thinking, but why am I always being insulted in public? You know, it's this innuendos, you know, mm. that just, you know, or there's remarks,
yeah.
you know, these subtle marks, you know, remarks. It's like, why don't you just speak to me? We are supposed to be friends, you know. And so sometimes the person, the person that's actually enforcing this toxic behavior, they themselves do not realize that they're actually doing it or they have a problem
mm-hmm.
because their mind is wired that way. That's the way they function. You know, that's how they are. Mm-hmm. So they don't even realize that they have a problem until you point it out. They never are the problem in their eyes. You are always mm-hmm. the problem, you know. And I was in a relationship like that already where your view is not, you know, counted. Like your view is not important.
Mm-hmm.
And that is dangerous.
Sure.
Where you're not allowed to speak. It's like you feel inferior.
Mm.
You start, this positive, this confident person starts feeling suffocated.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a voice. Before you know it, you've lost your voice. Before you know it, you don't realize that you're not that person anymore. You cannot identify with who you're supposed to be,
mm.
you know. And that is not the abundant life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. Mm-hmm. And that is in relationships where there's an absence of joy, there's an absence of peace, there's an absence of freedom.
Sure.
You know, you don't feel that joy, you don't feel that love, you don't feel liberated. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in every relationship. The moment you feel that you have to be someone else, it's dangerous. And a lot of people ignore the red flags.
Yeah.
Don't ignore the red flags. You cannot wish it away. You can ask God for wisdom. And before you even enter into a friendship, now people don't do this, even in a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
pray about it. Seek yeah. counsel, you know. Seek counsel. Things don't end up wrong. They start wrong.
Mm.
So we already start wrong on the wrong foundation, you know. And sometimes, also with friendships, how do they start? I see sometimes people have this common denominator, say an offended person, they become friends,
mm.
you know. And so that friendship is already rooted and founded on offense or on anger. Or they have a common offense.
Yeah.
Instead of God aligning you, you're aligning with something else, you know, hurt. Two hurt spirits crying out and you become friends.
Mm.
You know, those type of friendships do not last. They become toxic.
Yeah.
They become codependent. I mean, you know the story of Ahab and Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
It was codependent. You know, they needed one another. And it can cause so much harm to people around you. You know, that relationship with a romantic relationship or friendship, it can harm so many people. So it's so important to pray about your friendships.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, Lord, whoever's not meant to be in my life, who's not configured for me, you know, remove them.
Mm.
Send in those kingdom alignments, those destiny helpers.
Sure.
Send in covenant relationships. And we forget about You know, friendships, it's like people just come in and go out. Mm. Where's the covenant? Where's the commitment? Where's the faithfulness? Where's yeah. that? That's all biblical principles. People say it's old school. No, that is all biblical. Where's the covenant? Where's like, you're my friend and I've got you, mm-hmm. you know, even if you go, if you're on the valley, if you're on the mountaintop, I've got you.
Yeah.
And many times people are only with you when you're on the mountaintop.
Mm.
But that's why every relationship will be tested so that it can be trusted.
Yeah.
Can they be with you in the valley? Only when you have a name, only when you get promoted, or can they be with you when you're stripped and you have nothing?
Sure.
Can they be with you? Can they take that tissue and wipe your tears? Can they be just hug you? Can they still want to be with you?
Yeah.
It's not about what I've got. But it's about the commitment and the covenant, you know. It's I think of Ruth and Naomi, you know, where you go, I go. Your yeah. God will be my God. Do we still have that? Can we still be that?
Sure.
You know, that is true covenant displayed. And so we hop from friendship, relationship. It's unhealthy, you know. And so that's why I say, ask yourself, why do I want to be friends with this person? And does God want me to be aligned? Because bad company does corrupt good character. Yeah. You know, you walk in, you come in, for example, into a room, you're full of faith, and you walk in and you are just, you're on fire for the Lord, and you come into a toxic room, toxic conversations, you leave discouraged, you leave depleted, your mindset is different, not in a positive way.
Sure.
And so these type of relationships, they draw you away from God, they draw you away from your calling. These are all signs. You know, you start compromising. All of a sudden, you're like, why am I compromising? I compromise my values. I compromise how I view things.
Yeah.
I don't want to do ministry anymore, or I have opinions, or I become critical. And so we need to watch out for those things. You know, sometimes we love the person, but we must not like the principle that they're operating in, you know. And God speaks about the things that he hates in Proverbs 6, you know, lying tongue, those that cause division, he hates those. And we must love what God loves, and we must hate what he hates.
Yeah.
It's so important. And to produce longevity in our relationships, you know, I felt that from the beginning of 2023, there was such a lot of attack against relationships, you know, and that's why we got a war over some, and we got a let go of others. You know,
sure. And
this is a deep topic.
It is a deep topic, and I want us to, in the same breath, I want us to talk about how do you know when, you know, to let go of a relationship, and when to actually fight for it so that it can be repaired.
Okay, I pray about it first. I pray about it, and I always ask God, "Am I the problem? Am I seeing things through a different?" Because, as I said to you, our emotions and pain can deceive us.
Yeah.
And so we filter things through our emotions. And I don't want to do that. I want to be spirit-led and not emotional-led.
Mm-hmm.
I want God to speak to me, you know. And so I pray about it, you know. And if there are signs, and I'm like, these continuous signs, and I speak to the individual about it, you know, and say, I'm not liking this, or I start seeing different things that I don't like what they stand for. But if God, you know, when God does it, he does it beautifully. He will just simply diffuse that relationship. It's like you just grow apart. You know, you just grow apart when God does it. So I said, Lord, if this relationship is from you, you will want me to pursue it. Direct me to pursue it. And that's why we must pray about everything. The Bible says pray about everything.
Yeah.
That includes your relationships. So God, do you want me to pursue this, or do you want me to move on? You know? And so you can speak to the person about it and say, listen, our friendship is going a bit this way, and blah, blah. No, sometimes they're on denial, you know. But God will diffuse it. I believe that. And there's some that you got to fight for. I know in my heart whether I should fight for it. It's like with a marriage, you know. You got to fight for it. You know when there's a time to fight and there's a time to rest.
Yeah.
And so some of my friendships that I no longer have was simply because they were starting like disrespect my time, things like that, disrespect my time. Their conversations were no longer wholesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be part of that. I cannot be a partaker of unwholesome conversation because God will hold me accountable. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when I fear God, he gives me wisdom, and I cannot be a partaker of ungodly conversation. I cannot stand. My principles with that individual is now clashing. So we don't no longer stand for the same thing, you know. And so there are signs that you'll start to see. And in your heart, you will start to feel, but we don't stand for the same things anymore, you know. My principles are clashing with you, you know. And I will not compromise. When I start seeing compromise, I'm not going to compromise. Now, we're not being judgmental. We can speak to our friends about it. But then when there's continuous compromise, I cannot be a partaker of that, you know, because God will hold me accountable for whatever we do. And so it's so important, you know, God sometimes sends us people in our lives that we never thought we would be friends with. He sends destiny helpers, you know, he sends those people that will actually usher you into your next season of your life. And so maybe we have this thought pattern in our minds, like our friend's going to be like this. And sometimes God will send you people older, younger, like a variety of people that you never thought you would be friends with, but he knows what you need. It's not what you want. He knows what you need right now, you know, to break through into the next season. And sometimes even friendships can shut doors, you know. And so the Bible says that he will open doors that no man can shut. But why is there a blockage in my life? Why? Because God is saying, you are now unequally yoked. It's not just for relationships, romantic, but it's also friendships. We are unequally yoked. We believe different things. You know, we're no longer on the same, we're not equally anymore. We're unequally yoked. And so it's so important, friendships. Let me tell you, they can make you or break you. My husband likes to say your association determines your destination. And it is who you associate with, you eventually become, you know. And whatever you permit in your life, you empower. And so if you permit that, you're empowering, you're giving it power. And God holds us. I always say the fear of the Lord is so important. When I have the fear of God, I was like, Lord, I can no longer be in that relationship. And when it comes to romantic relationships, oh my gosh, you know, and I write in the book about it. When my husband and I started dating. Dating while you are saved, you know. My husband says dating is not for mating, it's for collecting data. And so dating, and we must seek counsel. And people are doing things the other way around. They first get engaged, they you know, complete the whole process, and then they inform you. And so we were discussing on Monday night on the Facebook Live how my husband did it. He spoke to my dad and said, listen, this is why I'm here. You mustn't wonder why I'm here. You know, so there's a protocol. And that's how you honor. The Bible says when you honor your mother and your father, it will go well with you. You know, irrespective if they saved or not saved, you need to honor. That's the principle. And so he consulted with my dad and said, this is why I'm here. This is who I am. When before we dated, he spoke to my parents. Before he proposed, he spoke to my parents. And it was three times, you know. And so that are all foundational biblical principles that will keep, that it sustains your marriage. You know, when you do things right, it's so important. And people think it's old school. I said it's not old school, it's biblical. It's a biblical principle that needs to be enforced. And so your foundation of your marriage has got to be right, you know. And seeking the Lord, our pastors gave confirmation that we are supposed to be married. God spoke to us. And we even sought the Lord. We did a separation period, you know, and said, God, you need to speak to us. But many people bounce in and out of relationships, and that causes all of the pain, all of the hurt, and we waste time. mm-hmm. in that way.
Yeah.
So sure. Do it right from the beginning.
Sure. Do it right from the beginning. Okay. Esmeralda is saying, good morning, Psych and Pastor Michelle. Oh, my word. Pastor Michelle, your words are so true, so powerful. Thank you so much for this interview. And thank you, CCFM, for this platform.
Wow.
It's 11:40. We are 20 minutes shy away before I say goodbye. And this is like really, really a deep, deep conversation.
Yes.
I want us to chat about what the Bible says that we should do with regards to our relationships, whether platonic or romantic.
Okay, so you have to go to Ephesians. I actually read the scripture, Ephesians 5 from verse 21, mm-hmm. where it speaks about exactly, gives you the blueprint for marriages. But verse 21 says that we should honor one another mm-hmm. as reverence to Christ. When there is no honor in your relationship, that's when it goes downhill. There must be the mutual respect in relationships. I must respect your time. I must respect your spouse. I must respect your children. Mm-hmm. I must respect you as a person. Where there's no longer respect, we become familiar. And what we do is we just take your time for granted. And so the minute there's familiarity, you know, I start feeling disrespected. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that honored, you know. And in Ephesians 5, it speaks about how husbands must love their wives. I always say, just love your wife. When you love your wife, let me tell you, that is the key that unlocks the door.
Come on.
Like, just love her. Mm. And it says in, I think it's in Colossians, it says, do not speak harshly to your wife. Like, I was like that. Like, just speak nice to me. You know, that's my love language.
Even if you're dressing.
Yeah, just don't tone. You can speak like the words. Yes, correct me, but just love on me. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to be loved. I'm that kind of person, you know. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I never liked confrontation. I was like, it's so hard. It's so difficult. Mm-hmm. But it's so necessary.
Yeah.
But even in that, as I said before, you know, mm-hmm. honor is important. We must honor. I must honor you. I must honor your time. I must not ask awkward questions, you know. And when people start asking questions about their spouse, also don't speak out about your spouse. Do not speak, you know, all the negativity about your spouse. Do not have him for breakfast, lunch, or supper.
Sure.
So you're speaking to your friends about your spouse in a negative way, you know, or you insult them publicly. Those things are not honorable. You're not honoring your spouse, you know. And wives, a lot of women don't like this. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband, to your own husbands.
Mm.
The blueprint is all there in Ephesians 5, you know. And submission is not punishment.
Mm-hmm.
People, I think because of this view or this thinking of the word submission, they're like, and people take it out of context. What it means when your husband loves you the way he's supposed to, the biblical way,
mm-hmm.
the way Christ expects, it's easy to submit.
Mm.
It's easy to submit yourself. And let me tell you, there is a blessing in submission. I've seen the hand of God upon my life when I submit.
Mm.
I should never be a burden to my husband. I should be a blessing to him.
Yeah.
And so when we submit, we make it easier. Remember, the Bible says from the beginning, I will make you a suitable, compatible helper.
Mm-hmm.
We are a helper.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must know our place. We must know our assignment.
Mm.
We need to know why God has called us and what God has called us to. Never the moment I'm in competition with my husband, you know, that causes such a lot of division. And so even you must watch out. The enemy speaks. You know, the Bible says that Satan came into Judas's heart. He never came into his mind. The minute the enemy starts planting seeds in your heart and say, your husband, he's got this. It's all thoughts, vain imaginations that you got to pull down. Let me tell you, the enemy will mess with your mind, you know, even in your friendships, you know. And that's why I said you have to do a heart check. You have to think about it. And so to sustain those relationships, do it God's way. The mm-hmm. word of God is there. Honor one another,
mm-hmm.
you know. It speaks about that. Honor is loving people, respecting people, speaking life over them.
Yeah.
And so I believe that is the blueprint. When I honor you, you know, I give reverence to Christ, because that's what it says, honor one another. And when you do that, you give reverence to Christ. Mm. Honor your spouse, you know, publicly and privately. Now, many people, I see this, they are private failures, public successes.
Sure.
And so we cannot live double lives. A double-minded person is unstable all their ways.
Mm.
So because you will leave your family confused. You will leave people confused. Like, oh my gosh, you know, you one way here and your kids see you.
Yeah.
But out there, you're a different person.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes we hurt the people that love us.
Sure.
We hurt the people that support us. We compliment other people more than compliment our spouse or our children. We love other children more than we love our own children.
Mm.
We see the potential in others more than in our own family.
Yeah.
And so don't eliminate that celebration factor. Celebrate. Speak life.
Mm-hmm.
Honor one another. It's so important.
Yeah.
And God can. He can give you the wisdom and the ability to sustain that marriage, to sustain those friendships. And healthy relationships are possible.
Hmm.
They are possible. You know, even being married and in ministry, that's a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's for another day.
Another day. It's going to happen.
That's for another day. But that's also something different. And my passion is always to speak to pastors' wives, because I know how challenging it can be, you know, when you have to surrender. Or, you know, I was saying in the beginning, like, it was challenging. I'm like, why is there so many people around, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is my husband. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, why is there so many requests? I didn't understand, you know, until God, you know, tapped me on the shoulder and says, it's called the call. It's the call of God.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but we can tap into that another day.
Yeah, we should. Jean, to wrap things up, is saying, good morning, I trust you are well. I am enjoying this conversation so much. I can relate on everything, and it's an eye-opening. I don't want this conversation to stop. Me neither, Jean. That makes two of us. But because of time, we have to wrap things up. And before I let you go, Pastor Links, any closing remarks and statement with regards to our topic today?
Well, I believe there's got to be a part two, because
this
was really condensed. If you would like to, if the listeners would like to listen or view, we did chat about it on our TLC Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
It was 8 p.m. Yeah, 8 p.m. We actually started quarter past 8. And you're welcome to go and view this. We actually went into some blending family challenges about people that believe that they should live together, not get married. We addressed a lot of those things. So you are welcome to hop onto the TLC Facebook page and you can watch. But I believe that this will be a part two. And I want to encourage maybe those that are struggling to keep friendships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me tell you, isolation is not from the Lord. You know, isolation is where the enemy comes for you. You know, that's why we've got to be sober and vigilant. God wants us to be in relationship.
Mm.
So it's so important that we connect with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you challenged with your friendships, take it to the Lord first. Don't address it in anger.
Yeah.
Take it to the Lord and He will give you direction and wisdom.
Mm.
With your spouse, if you see that things are not, you know, the atmosphere, you create the atmosphere.
Mm.
Do something different.
Yeah.
Do something different. You know, cook a nice meal, or, you know, arrange a date. Go for ice cream. Do keep it simple, but do something. You know, sow love. Sow honor. You know, love never fails. That's what the Bible says. Love never fails. Love is patient. It's not rude. You know, it's not boastful. You know, love never fails. Let me tell you, love covers a multitude of sin. Ask God to put your love, put His love in your heart again, you know, so that you can love others.
Mm.
You know, ask God to remove that offense, that bitterness. You can either become bitter or better. The choice is yours. But ask God to remove that bitterness so that you can love again. That's sure. from me.
Sure. I love it. It is Inside with Pastor Michelle Lengs. I'm excited for next week's topic. Yes. We're not going to give you, you know, some details as to what that is going to be about, but keep it locked. All you have to do is to stay around and keep it locked. And I acknowledge all of the messages that are requesting this conversation to be a podcast on our app. We will definitely, definitely do that. Yes. But Pastor Lengs, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For this one. So insightful.
Yes.
And it is truly a blessing and an honor to have you join us. Thank you so much.
I just want to add the book Purpose in Pain. If you'd like to pre-book a copy, you are welcome to dial 074-183-5775. That's 074-183-5775. And that is Authia Rhoda. She will take pre-bookings, pre-orders for that book, and we are excited. We are going to go in deeper with this book, and let me tell you, you can find purpose in that pain.
Sure, beautifully said. Thank you so much.
Fabulous.
Right, it is 11:50. I've got literally 5 minutes to say goodbye, but let's go pay our bills and have Jonathan McReynolds with God is Good after that.